want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And the server, that's a penalty.
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that, he hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free steak.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX. Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology.
And by BetUS, the original online sportsbook.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Patrick Creighton.
This is the only live local evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you. Sorry, you know what? I was busy watching base hits happen on television. See, I can actually do something nobody else can do in this studio. I can watch the Astros. Because our new television, which I appreciate the new television, thank you very much, powers that be, this hit. And when I say base hit, I mean base hit where it hits the center fielder square in the webbing of the glove and then pops out. That's what I mean by a base hit. Because I was going to be like, and then I was like, oh! And that kind of swallowed up half the opening there. That happens sometimes. But our new television is not yet hooked up to the main television service that all the other studios have. Like my man Josh Evans, he can watch the Astros in the studio. And once upon a time, if it was on in there, it was on in here. But we're not set up for that yet. So, I did something the other guys can't do. I used my own internet television service and just logged in, and bam, here we go, baseball! Is that cheating? I don't know. If you're not cheating, you're not trying. Win if you can, lose if you must, but always cheat. The great Ken Patera. If you know, you know. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, on the HRP listener line, on the text line, on X, Twitter, at P. Creighton 1. Josh Evans on the other side of the glass at the master controls. And I am Jay Chevy on the X Twitter, on the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975, ESPN975.com, ESPN975 app. Tell Google, tell Alexa, play ESPN975 and take us with you everywhere you go. Where did this Brian Arakpo jersey come from? And who the hell is Ace?
Man, I was trying to figure that out also.
I'm pretty sure there haven't been any Texans named Ace. Although, you know, if we did have an ace, it was probably the punter. So, yeah, don't know why that jersey is hanging up. Also, don't know why it's hanging up next to the two criminals. Although, maybe that's a thing.
I was going to say, is that the theme of the wall? Is that...
This is the wall of shame.
Okay.
This is the wall of fame. 34s in Durker. This is the wall of shame with OJ and Ron Mexico. I mean, Michael Vick. I mean, Ron Mexico. So I'm not sure what Brian Arakpo did to wind up on the wall of shame next to some clown named Ace.
Well, what did Ace do?
You don't even know who he is, let alone what he did.
That's the sign of a good criminal.
We have no idea. Here's what we do know. The Astros are on the road. So does that mean victory? They are 18 games over 500, and they are playing the team with the worst record in baseball. However, we learned earlier this week, that means nothing. Now, it is Roberto Clemente Day in Major League Baseball. That means that many players will be wearing the number 21. The Astros have several players wearing the number 21. However, none of them are Yiner Diaz, who always wears number 21, because he is not in the lineup. We have what maybe could be considered the death lineup plus Maldi. So when we don't have Yiner Diaz in the lineup, this is like the closest thing to the Astros' best lineup, even though so far today they are not performing as such. Altuve, Peña, Yordan, Breggy, Tuck, Abreu, Brantley, Chaz, and then, of course, Mr. 187 himself, Martin Maldonado, who every time he comes to the bat, either it's murder, death, kill, he smashed a baseball, or it's murder, death, kill, I want to kill myself because he made another terrible out. Give Moldy his credit in that, you know, when he does hit it, he hits it pretty hard. He gets doubles, he gets homers. Might kind of all he gets when he's not striking out. But unfortunately, Moldy will not get the chance to face Zach Greinke, because Zach Greinke out of the game already. Dude, Zach Greinke is 1-15. That's almost a sin. Greinke out of the game after 48 pitches. Two innings, three hits, a walk, a strikeout, did not give up a run. But Moldy will not get to face him. And I really wanted to see Greinke throw down the deuce. Be like, no, it's coming. Here's the curve. And then throw it and see if Moldy could hit it when he told him what was coming. Because that just would have been like the pinnacle of entertainment for me. Don't ask me why. I just feel like that would be the pinnacle of entertainment. On the Twitter, Jay Shev, there is a cry to allow you to run somewhere.
Absolutely. There is.
Do you need to run somewhere?
Not currently.
I was going to say, if you need to run somewhere, man, I can just run my mouth the next 4 minutes while you pit stop and come back. We'll hit this all before the break. Got to make sure that you're not, you know, going to die in there.
Listen, I will say I have lots of practice with running the Sugarland Space Cowboys of holding and keeping myself together.
Oh, so you haven't invested in the 48-ounce Gatorade bottle yet?
No, not yet. I pray I don't need to.
You don't have the trucker bucket? You know, where you have one big thermos that has your drink and one big thermos that's empty?
I could only imagine the call that Joe George would get if I ever came in the studio and did that.
Please recycle. Oh, Dre said that Machete did actually get a walk against... said Machete got a walk against Greinke. So he was the walk. And clearly walking Martin Maldonado was must be the reason why Zach Greinke was pulled. But now that I can actually see the game, that's important. Now I can actually see the game. And there is Jose Abreu, Jeremy Pena, both wearing 21. I believe Jose Altuve also wearing 21 in this game. And I believe Yordan Alvarez also wearing 21 in this game. And maybe the first base coach also wearing 21 in this game. A lot of 21s, but not Yainer Diaz. It's okay. It's okay. Because you know what? If you put those eight guys in the lineup with Martin Maldonado, you ought to be able to win anyway. It's the frickin' Royals. Oh, by the way, Christian Javier. Punch out! Javi got off to an inauspicious start. First two guys got on. Walk and a hit. But since then, there have been no walks and there have been no hits. And there have been 4 punch outs. And believe it or not, Christian Javier's ERA is under 4.75 right now. Seems like why are we celebrating this? Well, if you know, you know. And Javier, who looked better in his last start, after those first two batters, looks like he is kind of finding the groove. And if Javier winds up having a great start and Martin Maldonado behind him, does that mean Moldy fixed him? Oh, he gave up a hit. Damn it, Moldy's fault. Obviously, I kid. I believe Maldonado was to blame as much as I believe he is the fixer of things. To me, the pitcher is the one throwing the pitches. He puts the ball in the right spot or he doesn't. And that one got a little too much plate. I do not actually blame Martin Maldonado for these things. I just find it to be hilarious because my ESPN screen is like a pitch or two ahead of the TV stream, and Martin Maldonado with yet another pass ball. I mean, there's no excuse for this. Yes, it's a high pitch, but he knows it's a high pitch. Like, he's got his glove up there for a high pitch. He's coming out of the chute, and it still pops off his glove. It hits him right in the glove, and it pops up in the air. Like, why does this keep happening? You know, is there a magnet in the baseball and a magnet in his glove, and they repel each other? Like, why does this happen? And why does it happen to Maldonado more than every other catcher in baseball? Literally. Because he leads the league in pass balls. Like, that one wasn't a, okay, this ball's, like, drifting way off the plate and I got to go. And it wasn't like, this wasn't even a five-holer. Right? Where you get a hard breaking ball and it just takes a massive sharp dip down and maybe, you know, tried to smother it and it gets by. No, this is the high fastball. He's already out of the chute. Just squeeze it. All right, Moldy rant over. Because, like I said, they're playing the Royals, and I can't really be mad at Moldy. I can't be mad at him. Look, all I need is for Javier to pitch well, and we can all say, yay, Moldy did it, and I don't care. Because at the end of the day, what I want is a W. That's it. All I want is a win. And that was the softest hit ground ball in the history of the world. But Altuve has to field it on the shortstop side, and you know Altuve's arm isn't getting anybody. So we got runners on the corner and one out on a ball that was hit softer. Like if you or I were up there and hit that ball, we'd have hit it harder than that. There's like a one, two, three, four, five hopper, and just Altuve has no arm. One day, when Yordan is old enough to be able to play the field on a regular basis, Jose Altuve will probably get some DH reps one day in the future, because the Astros will have another second baseman who actually, you know, is a really good defender and can hit.
One day, PC.
One day. Because as long as Jose Altuve is going to hit 300 and have a 900 OPS, Altuve is going to hit. You're going to put him in the bat. Listen, Jose Altuve is Astros' god. His bat goes in the lineup no matter what. And unfortunately, he's too short to play first. So your options are you could live with him at second base, and on plays like that, all right, you know what? That might cost you a run. But Altuve also might hit a three-run homer later on. So you'll live with that. But maybe in the future, one day when Altuve is old but still hits, you'll have a young second baseman who will play the field. And Altuve will get some DH reps and only play second base sometimes. He'll get some DH reps and continue to just mash baseballs onto the train tracks, because that's what Altuve does. And it doesn't matter if they are playing at Kauffman Stadium and there are no train tracks, there's only a waterfall, okay? He will still hit it over the train tracks from Kansas City. Whatever train tracks are out there in Kansas City, he will hit it over them. And the waterfall, and the people, and everyone involved, and whatever crappy barbecue place that they want to claim they have that's better than Houston, because it's not, he'll hit it over that too. Because he is Jose Altuve, Astros' god. They're in the bottom third, no scores. Javier's trying to get out of a jam. Last week, Chandler Rome wrote about the batter's eye and how it's giving problems to some Astros hitters, despite the fact it didn't give them problems last year, the year before, or whatever. But today, it officially became a thing, and we will tell you about it next. But first, it is almost time for the weekend. And the weekend means football, college football, and NFL football. And there is only one way that's better to make money than watching football and getting paid. Unfortunately, your mom's not going to let you use the world's oldest profession. So you're going to do the next best thing. You're going to watch football, and you're going to make money, and you're going to do it at BetUS.com. Because for their 30th anniversary, that's right, they have been in business 30 years as a sportsbook. Their original sports betting online service. Their 30th anniversary, they're giving you up to 30 risk. Free bets. 30 risk-free bets. It's called Bet Protect, and nobody else has it except BetUS.com. And if that's not enough, if 30 freebies where you bet, you win, you cash, you bet, you lose, you keep your money. If that's not enough, how about the industry's biggest sign-on bonus of 125%? That's right. You put in 100 bucks, they give you a $125. It's in your account right away. Go bet, go win. Oh, you're a little sharper, you know how to use crypto? Well, if you sign up with crypto, it's a 200% bonus. And you don't have to stop all the fun at the start of the game. No, because with their live in-game betting, you can keep the excitement and the winnings going all game long. So take advantage of this 30th anniversary offer. Up to 30 risk-free bets. Get Bet Protect and get started today. BetUS.com or call 1-800-MY-BET-US. 1-800-MY-BET-US. Don't know how to set up crypto? Call them. 1-800-MY-BET-US. They'll show you how to do it. Learn about all the bonuses, all the special offers. 1-800-MYBETUS, BETUS.com. Sportsbook and casino, where the game begins.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here, your family.
I don't have friends. I got family.
.com.
Late night Houston sports talk only happens here. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology.
And by BetUS, the original online sports book.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, so Astros down 1-0, top four. And as Brother Bear asked on the Twitch stream, it's Friday. Yes, it is Friday, which means, yes, you get to call in and ask anything. Fridays, we always allow you to do Ask Me Anything, but only on the phone. I'm not doing Ask Me Anything on the text line or on the Twitch feed. If you want to ask me anything, you got to, as Jenner Diaz says, got to put your pants on, and you got to pick up the phone, and you got to call in 713-780-3776. Now, last week, Chandler Rome wrote about the batter's eye and how maybe it's affecting some batters, and maybe this is why guys aren't hitting the ball as well at home. And it seemed like maybe that wasn't the most realistic answer for things, considering it's the same batter's eye that's been there for years. Why isn't this year suddenly it's a problem? But apparently the Astros are admitting it's a problem, because the Astros released a statement today stating that they were going to add green paint to the right side of the batter's eye at Minute Maid Park, and that these adjustments will be made before the Astros open their next homestand on Monday. That's some pretty quick answering to what seems like a, all right, come on. That can't be right. So every other year, like last year was no problem, but this year it's a problem. They didn't shave like 30 feet off the batter's eye starting this year. But Astros taking it seriously enough that there was actually a story on it that they are going to paint the right side of the batter's eye. Now, here's where it gets dirty, right? Once this is done, does that mean people expect, oh, the Astros are going to score 12 runs on Monday? Oh, the batter's eye's fixed. Now they get hit. What happens if they, you know, pull another one-run performance in that game? Well, really in any game at home. So any game where the Astros don't hit well at home, what's the excuse then? I don't like the idea of making excuses for why, they didn't hit well because of this, because of that. Baseball is one of those games where you have statistical anomalies for individual seasons, right? You see it both ways, where a guy who's a 260 hitter one year hits 335, and then another year hits, you know, 203. You know, why does a 30-home run guy one year hit 50 homers and one year hit 12?
and then, you know, go back to these things happen. Why does a guy who usually has a 370 on base percentage suddenly have one that's 322? You know, why are relief pitchers, you know, oh, he's got a, you know, ERA 2.3, 2.6, 3.1, 2.8, 2.5, 5.26, you know, 3.1, 2.6. Well, why is there this bubble in there? Baseball has statistical anomalies. You know, Josh, if I said to you, who is the major league single season leader in RBI? 1 year, most RBI 1 year. Do you know who it is?
Off the top of my head, no.
You want to take a guess?
Of all time?
Of all, just one season. Most RBI in one single season. Want to take a guess who it is?
I don't know if it'll count because of steroids, but Barry Bonds?
It's not Barry Bonds. In fact, it's not anybody from this generation. Think, here, let me give you a phrase. It happened in 1930.
Oh, Babe Ruth.
It's not Babe Ruth.
What? Oh. All right, I'm out of guessing. 1930 is beyond me.
It's not Babe Ruth. It is not Lou Gehrig. It is not Jimmy Fox. It's a guy named Hack Wilson. And if I told you that Hack Wilson was maybe as tall as Jose Altuve? And
maybe.
Maybe it's like he's like he was listed as 5'6". Hack Wilson was 5'6" and 190 pounds listed. He was probably closer to like 215.
5'6", 215 is a hefty bro.
He was short. And he was round. And understand, like 1929, 1930, we're talking about very live ball era. He had 191 RBI in 1930. And didn't even crack the top 10 in MVP. He also had a 159 RBI season the year before, where he finished eighth in the MVP race. He had 3 years of 120 or more. But for example, he hit 191 RBI. The next year, he had 61. Now, didn't play a full season, but we're talking about a difference like 30 games. You weren't getting 130 RBI in 30-something games. Why did his OPS go from 1177 to 798? Because these things happen in baseball. Imagine having an OPS of 1177, leading the league in home runs, RBI, and walks, and slugging, OPS, OPS+. You led the league in all those categories, were not top 10 in the MVP. Hell, you weren't even on the list.
What more do you want from me?
Just giving you an example. Weird things happen in baseball. So somebody asked, well, why is Martin Maldonado's fielding percentage so high? Well, fielding percentage doesn't take into account pass balls or things like that. It's just errors versus chances. And especially in today's baseball, where it seems like there is a baseball-wide edict to give a hit on anything that is not the most glaring of errors. Everybody's going to have a better fielding percentage now than they've ever had. Because, I mean, we've seen the ball hit the shortstop and the glove drops it, hit. And this is baseball-wide, every stadium. Guys are getting gifted base hits. They've got no business having base hits. You know, and again, this isn't about, hey, let me bag on Maldy for a minute. We know what Maldy's deficiencies are. He's 36 years old, and father time comes to get all of us. Like I said, you're playing the Royals. Beat the damn Royals. I don't care if they put Jake Myers and John Singleton and Mauricio Dubon and Greg Kessinger all in the lineup at the same time. It's the friggin' Royals. Go beat them. And you know what the best way is to beat a team like the Royals? Don't give up more than one run because they're not a great offensive team. Oh, also, score. Because the number of games that you win with zero runs is the number of runs you scored. Okay. Coming up next. What the hell is going on down on Kirby? Next.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're hooked up with it.
Toss a coin to your witcher.
Tell me you do.
Late Hits on ESPN 97.5, presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology,
and by BetUS, the original online sports book.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
You know what, I really hate when injuries turn optimism into potential disaster. And I think we're staring that down with the Houston Texans right now. We're at that point. We are really concerned about how many guys are going to not play. And look, I didn't expect Jalen Petrie was going to play this week after having a bruised lung. And he was a DNP all week. He's out. Jimmy Ward, who they told us, oh, yeah, he might play week one. He didn't play week one. He is also out for week two. So the Texans are down their two top safeties. Two of their you know, maybe one of their best defensive playmakers in Jalen Petrie. And the guy who's kind of the captain of the secondary in Jimmy Ward. Neither one of those guys are going to play. They're already without Titus Howard. They're on their third string center. Not entirely sure what's going on at left guard. But of bigger concern, we're not entirely sure what's going on at left tackle. Because for the second time this week, Laremy Tunsil was a DNP with a knee injury that popped up on Wednesday. Did not practice Wednesday, was a limited participant Thursday, and then was a DNP today. Usually when you go from didn't practice to limited practice back to didn't practice, that's not a good sign. It is very plausible Laremy Tunsil will not play on Sunday. That means the only actual starter on the Texans' offensive line will be Shaq Mason. Everybody else is at best a second stringer, maybe a third stringer, hell, maybe a fourth stringer. And to top it all off, CJ Stroud suddenly on the injury report with a right shoulder injury, was a limited participant in practice, and because they didn't release the injury report until after they had already done all their talking. Well, nobody talked about CJ Stroud being limited. He wasn't on the injury report. Now all of a sudden he is. He is listed as questionable. Now, as a limited participant, I'm leaning with the idea that CJ is going to play. But Tunsil, who didn't practice, is making me think he probably will not play. The Texans, who were already down two team captains because Petrie and Ward are captains, suddenly announced three new captains today. Stevie Nelson, Robert Woods, and Will Anderson Jr. Why do you need three new captains if you're only down two guys? Well, that tells us one of those other two, Laremy Tunsil and CJ Stroud, one of those two guys is probably not dressing. And if I have to guess, I'm going to guess it's the guy who did not practice. And the idea of George Fant at one tackle and Josh Jones at the other tackle and Michael Dieter at guard. Does anybody have a really good insurance policy for CJ Stroud? because we should probably be worried. Now, look, Stroud, I think, is more mobile than Davis Mills, more athletic than Davis Mills. But I am concerned that, well, the running game that they want to get going, that they did not get going in week one, probably not going to be any easier to get going in week two. And this is how a game that, look, if Tunsil plays and Tunsil's not hurt and C.J. Stroud's not hurt, I would lean Texans. In fact, they asked me for my Texans prediction yesterday, and I said 23-20 Texans. I do think that C.J. and Anthony Richardson, look, they know each other, right? They're friends. They've been playing against each other for a long time. I think that because those two are part of a triumvirate whose careers are going to be compared together for their entire careers, right? Bryce Young 1, CJ 2, Richardson 4. Those three guys are going to be linked together forever. And because CJ and Richardson are in the same division, they're going to see each other twice every year. You know those are going to be big games to those two guys who are going to want to show up and show out for their fans, for their team, and say, hey, I was the right pick, not that guy. Because, look, that's competitive nature. No matter how much you like somebody, you still want to say, oh, yeah, but I'm better than that guy. And they're going to want to be better. They're going to want to win. They're going to want to put up better numbers, better stats, have a bigger game. It's going to be really hard for C.J. Stroud considering four-fifths, that's 80%, of his starting offensive line isn't going to play. That doesn't bode well for Damian Pierce. That doesn't bode well for Devin Singletary. That doesn't bode well for protection. And it's going to put a lot more pressure on the Texans' defense. And look, the Texans' defense is not getting enough credit because the Texans lost 25-9. They held the Ravens to under 280 yards of offense. The Texans actually outgained the Ravens in offensive yards in week one, despite a very substandard offensive line and a running game that did not get on track. They outgained Baltimore on the road. But that doesn't matter who you put at left tackle. Going from Laremy Tunsil to whomever is a big drop-off. Tunsil's one of the best in the league. I mean, this is where the injuries, to me, I feel like this turns what I thought would be a Texans win into a potential Texans loss. If there's no Laremy Tunsil at left tackle, I don't think the Texans win. You're already on tackle three. Hell, you're on tackle four because tackle three is Charlie Heck, and he's on the pup list. So you're on tackle four at right tackle with George Fant. Or maybe you move George Fant to left tackle. It doesn't matter. And what, Josh Jones playing the other tackle is tackle five. You're on tackles four and five. Michael Dieter is what? Left guard three, four? You're already on center three. None of this is good. None of this gives me the warm and fuzzies. None of this makes me feel more and more confident that the Texans are moving in the right direction, because maybe they would be moving in the right direction. But they keep getting injuries. All to the same position. You guys remember the beginning of the baseball season? I said, the only thing that could possibly sidetrack the Astros would be if they had a lot of injuries all to the starting pitching position. And son of a B. What's the one thing that could really hurt the development of a rookie starting quarterback? Well, the offensive line takes a bunch of injuries and it goes to hell. Son of a B. This is where we are. I hate it. This is a game that all really from the day of the draft, I thought the Texans were going to win this game. All the moves they made on the offensive line, signing Tunsil, signing Howard, trading for and signing Mason. Like, you went and you drafted two centers, but you drafted an early round center who's supposed to be a plug and play guy. You were expecting your left guard to take a big step forward and Kenyon Green take a big step forward from last year to this year, not be injured and the team do nothing about it. This is everything going wrong. And like I said, no Tunsil. I think it's extremely difficult for the Texans to win. And God forbid CJ doesn't play. Because if Davis Mills has to play in this game, it's going to be UGLY. And there ain't no other way to say it. Coming up next, Buffs by a billion.
ESPN 97.5.com. One of these guys cheats at fishing.
We got weights and fish.
There we go.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical RX. Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology.
And by BetUS, the original online sports book.
And I'll tell you about our friends over at Home Run Dugout in Katy. Home Run Dugout is like my favorite place to hang out. This place is just so awesome. Indoor, outdoor, restaurant, bar, seating. You got indoor bars, outdoor bars. You got TVs inside, TVs outside. Batting bays inside and outside. The batting bays are awesome. Imagine Top Golf, but with baseball. Ball shoots up out of the floor, just pops up out of the floor, and you get to drill it into the screen and essentially hit home runs in any Major League Baseball park that you want, like anywhere. Oh, and then they have all these like really cool events. So you've got a full-size wiffle ball field with a huge scoreboard, like the big wall scoreboard. They play kickball out there. They do so much cool stuff. This is really the coolest place you're going to go. And the food is awesome. Like, they have a guy who I think was a chef, used to be the chef for WWE. And, like, this food is just amazing. You're going to go there. You are going to be – I mean, I took my kids there. They loved it. I took the mother of children there. Even she loved it. Oh, you want a regular drink? They got that. You want, like, a high-end crafted cocktail? Well, they got that, too. They've also had some pretty cool events out there. You might have heard we're talking about the concert they did with Lil Kiki, Slim Thug, and Paul Wall. It was totally amazing. But maybe, you know, rap and R&B is not your thing. Maybe you're a country music fan. Well, Eli Young Band is coming to Home Run Dugout September 30th. You want to go see a really cool country band, go see Eli Young Band at Home Run Dugout September 30th. Go to homerundugout.com. And just click on upcoming events, and you can go and get tickets right there online. Go see Eli Young Band at Home Run Dugout while you're catching every game and enjoying amazing food and drinks and having a great time. It is the coolest place to go. If you haven't gotten there, you need to get out to Home Run Dugout in Katy. All right. So earlier this week, the head coach, Colorado State, that 99% of the world before, say, 3 days ago had no idea who the hell that guy was. But the head coach of Colorado State is Jay Norvell. And Jay Norvell decided he was going to pop off about Deion Sanders. I was taught when I was a kid to take off my hat and glasses when I was talking to an adult. Meanwhile, it took the internet like 2.5 seconds to find dozens of photos of Norvell with a hat on, you know, doing his pressers and interviews and stuff. So we already know Norvell is just completely full of crap. And there is nothing worse than A, taking a shot at a guy who is totally going to kick your ass while being a hypocrite. Here's Deion Sanders on the Pat McAfee show. Earlier today, kind of a response to Jay Norvell's idiotic comments about the hat and the glasses.
Treat people well.
That's right.
And you're a man of honor.
That's right. That's
and
right.
You're loyal and you take care of people. How you dress, how you act is really just a fugazi if you're not actually a good person.
That's right.
If you're a good person, who cares what you look like while you're doing your job? You have kind of take ownership over that. Now that the coach for Colorado State has called that out as a negative and thought that he was getting over, how much do you use that as motivation?
Oh my God.
And how much do you love? How much do you love that happened?
100%. I don't like that it happened because this is another brother. You know, we started out right. He was complimenting me, I was complimenting him, he was doing his thing, but it just took a quick left. What happened? Who got to him? Like what happened? And this to take a left after what he said previously, it threw me off. And I really started to contemplate, what happened? Why would you go to that direction? You know me. Like, you know how I get down. You know, if we really want to talk, I can do this pretty darn good. I'm pretty good at this, AJ.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't need to because the kids, they're ready, man. Like, that just, if it was a trap game, and I don't believe in trap games, my kids now are on a 10. They are ready to play this game, and they can't wait to play this game. We can't wait to get it on. We really can't.
Dude, buffs by a billion. Like, this was... unknown idiot ticks off Deion Sanders, who then tells his kids, we gonna kill these mofos. We're not gonna win, you know, like 35-0 or 4. No, we're gonna think 70. Buffs by a billion. Shador Sanders over. Travis Hunter over. Jimmy Horn Jr. over. Like, just over. And they are gonna, this is gonna be stomping a mud hole and walking it dry.
I don't even know what the line is for this game, but I.
It's not high enough.
It's not enough.
Whatever it is.
It's not enough.
It honestly, it doesn't even matter what the line is because they're going to crush it. Whatever the over-under is, Colorado are going to hit it on their own. They hit it on their own. In fact, let me get you the actual number. Ready? Colorado minus 23.5. But they cover him. They cover him. They might cover by double. Over under 63. Colorado might have 70. They might have 70 on their own. This is Deion going to make a point. You wanted to make it personal? Because Deion tweeted that, oh, it's personal? You want to get like that? Because what has Deion had to overcome his entire coaching career? The establishment telling him, oh, you're going to fail. The establishment constantly telling him, you're not good enough. You can't do it. You didn't pay your dues. You didn't coach at any of the levels. You know, you didn't coach the college level. You weren't an assistant. You know, how are you going to succeed? How are you going to recruit? How are you going to teach? You don't know anything. And all he did was show him, y'all stupid. The establishment said he was going to fail at Jackson State. And not only did he exceeded in manners at which nobody saw coming. And even despite that, he was always, oh, well, he's never going to get a job at a Power 5 school. No Power 5 school would be so desperate. It would be a ludicrous hire to hire Deion. Nobody's going to do that. Except one school actually got that desperate. Colorado was 1-11, and they were beyond desperate. They knew they were on the verge of being a laughingstock. A once proud program was on the verge of being a laughingstock. And they reached out to Deion and they offered him a job. And hell, their AD offered him a contract. He don't even have the money to pay. He offered him that contract and said, listen, I know I don't have the money to pay this right now, but I'll get it. And the more you win, the faster I'll get it. Let me tell you what's going to happen with Deion Sanders. Deion's going to have a team that went 1-11, was an embarrassment. They're going to be 3-0. They are going to have the most points scored this week. They're going to have the highest margin of victory this week. And before this year is over, with the amount of money that Colorado is going to bring into the program because of what Deion has done, where he has literally turned over an entire 85-man roster, brought in over 50 kids out of the transfer portal, and here they are. They go to Fort Worth. They beat the national title runner-up in their building. They take on Nebraska, and they whooped the ass. Colorado State may as well just be a sacrificial lamb. This is just like an offering to Moda.
Did you see that over this past weekend that Deion Sanders technically brought in over $8 million to the state of Colorado?
Just this weekend?
Just this weekend.
Guess what's going to happen this weekend? I mean, it is insane. This is how much money football brings in when football is good. Deion has turned them in from nobody cares to they were the highest rated college football game of the week.
Most expensive tickets to buy.
Blue numbers out the door. Highest rated football game last week. They are now one of the most heavily bet teams because of Deion. Deion, I'm sure, is very much aware of what the spread is and what the line is. And like I said, Deion is not going to take that slight, considering all the other slights he's had to overcome. He's not going to take that slight lightly. Buffs by a billion. If the line went to 30, buffs. If the line goes to 35, buffs. The line's 23.5. You got plenty of room. Go, I'd smash that right now. In fact, I've already smashed it.
I'm trying to log in right now.
I have smashed Buffalo. I have smashed Colorado on the line. I got them on the halftime line, on the full game line. I've got Colorado on so many things. I've got, like, Shador Sanders on the over. I got Chaz Hunter on the over. I got Jimmy Horn on the over. I got, like, all these guys on the over. They are going to absolutely beat the living snot out of Colorado State, and they're going to make sure they do it, like, middle fingers in the air. And then watch the end of the game when it's time to shake hands. Deion going to go out there with his hat on, his glasses on, and be like, what? You got something to say? What? And then in the press conference, I'm like, oh, no, it's all good. It's all good. Yeah, we whipped that ass. Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. Do you believe? Yeah, we whipped that ass. Yeah, it's all good. That's how it's going to go. They're going to destroy them. And you know what? That's the 9 o'clock game tomorrow night. So it's kind of like the only top 25 game going on at that point. The other top 25 game, yeah, that's the only one. It's the only other game. All the other games start at 7. So UT, Wyoming, where, look, UT is going to smash the snot out of Wyoming. That's another one. Quinn Ewers over. but that's a 7 o'clock game. Oregon, Hawaii is a 7 o'clock game. Those games will be long over. And I don't mean that the game will actually be over, but on the scoreboard. Those games will be long over when it comes time for Colorado to put boots to asses on Colorado State in Boulder. Just if ever there was a week of it doesn't matter what the line is, just smash the Buffs, smash the Buffs. All right, we got our week 2 picks for the NFL coming up next.
PN 97.5 on Twitch. All systems go.
Houston is all systems go.